Blog Talk Radio.
Mighty Grill, put your hands together.
You're now once again tuned into, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. And we do come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time from Hopper Woods, Michigan. Well, tonight, I'm asking all the listeners, as I always do, and especially for the first-time listeners, because this is a worldwide platform and ministry, please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God on tonight, none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. He will be delivering another powerful word from the Lord on tonight. So you need your Bibles, your pens and paper to follow along. God's word said, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. And so we don't want anyone to ever think that we're making up things as we go. That's why it's important that you have your Bible so that you can follow along and read it for yourself, what thus said the Lord. Well, on tonight, I have another special guest for the first time. This man wears many, many different hats. He is a stage gospel playwriter. He is a movie producer, director, actor. He does it all. My brother in Christ, Brother Rob Mitchell III. He is also a member of the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, where I am also a member. And Pastor Mark C. Holloway is our pastor and shepherd. We will be bringing forth Brother Rob Mitchell on first before the word comes forth. But we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking our listeners, if you would please pray with me, because we serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, is in the name of Jesus. We come touching and agreeing and realizing and knowing that without a doubt that you are God all by yourself. You have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are in total control at all times. You never slumber nor sleep. We thank you that all power is in your hands, and we give you the glory for waking us up on just another day that we have never seen before. You've allowed us to wake up and see us and to be able to see it. We give you glory, honor, and praise for it in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we come asking that you forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, both my guests on tonight, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson, and Brother Rob Mitchell III, their families, and all saved believers all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you for your grace and your mercy on tonight. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We continue to lift up the president of Ukraine and the people of Ukraine, that you will continue to be with them, Heavenly Father. You know what they're going through, and we know that you know all about it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are still in control, even in this unnecessary, unprovoked war, that you are still God, and you sit high and look low. So now, Lord, we even pray for those that are bereaved on tonight. Continue to bless them, continue to comfort them, strengthen their hearts, that they will also be able to look into the hills from which cometh their help, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray and ask that you will move by your Spirit, that your word will flow through your man of God on tonight. That should there be any listening on tonight, whether by phone or through social media platforms that are listening to this worldwide platform on tonight, if they're not saved in Jesus' name, it's our prayer, hope, and desire that something will be said through your man of God, through your word, as you use them through your Holy Spirit. They will hear your word. They will receive it. They will open their own mouth and confess their sins and transgressions and ask Jesus Christ, your son, to come into their hearts and to their lives and save them. And once they're saved, they will come to know and fulfill their own individual God purpose in the earth. They will give you glory, honor, and praise in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray and lift up every listener that faithfully tunes into this worldwide ministry, even those that have tuned in on tonight for the first time, bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, we do have another spiritual food for thought, as we always do. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, it's hard to leave your footprint if you spend all your time sitting down. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. It's hard to leave your footprint if you spend all your time sitting down. I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. And please take note that I do not own the copyrights to any songs or music played over this worldwide ministry platform. So as I said to you all earlier on tonight, my first guest, I have two guests on tonight. We have none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C., who will be delivering God's word. So again, I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to follow along. But first, we have a special guest for the first time on this worldwide platform on tonight, my brother in Christ, Brother Rob Mitchell III is on the line right now, and I'm going to first say thank you, Brother Rob, for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you're in a rehearsal right now, so that's why I have you on first, so that you can conclude what we are going to do with you on tonight with your questions, so that you can get back to your rehearsal. First of all, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be my special guest on tonight. But I would like for you, if you don't mind, would you please share with me and the worldwide listeners, could you please share with us a testimony, please?
Well, thank you for having me on your show. My little brief testimony is I try to do all that I can do and try to do everything right, best that I can, and I still ended up with cancer, but God. So I'm cancer-free, and I thank God for being able to be cancer-free.
Amen. You know what? That was a short testimony, but it was a powerful testimony because it has a lot of impact. Because someone else, that's why I always ask my first-time guest to share a testimony, because someone else may be going through the same thing that you have been through already, but thank God you are cancer-free. Such as myself, I am also cancer-free, thank God for that. But thank God for your testimony that lets someone else know that maybe dealing with cancer that are lacking in their faith, they may be weak in their faith and they don't trust the doctors, but they need to put their hope, their faith, and their trust in God. Even though they are going through cancer, they need to know that, just like you said, God has you cancer-free now. They need to know this and hear this from your testimony, that will give them the encouragement to put their faith and hope and trust in God, to let them know that just like he did it for you, he's the same God. He has no respecter of persons. He can do the same thing for them. So I thank you for sharing that testimony on tonight that we have just listened to, that you just gave God glory through your testimony, letting us know that with him, you're now cancer-free. And for this, we give God glory, honor, and praise. So I know that you are in a rehearsal right now, so I'm going to get right to your questions that I have for you on tonight so you can get back to your rehearsal. But I want the listeners to know that after I have concluded with Brother Bob Mitchell, we're going to get ready to go directly into God's Word. I'm not going to do a music break song on tonight. I will do a closing song, but I'm not going to do a music break song because we have two guests on tonight. Brother Bob Mitchell, your first question on tonight is, what is, because you have so many titles and you wear so many hats regarding gospel stage plays and gospel movies that you, God has blessed you and ordained you to do, what is your main objective for making movies?
My main objective for making movies is to uplift and inspire and to combine talented people together.
Amen. Would you say that again? Because all movie producers do not do that. Would you say that again? Because somebody need to be inspired by what you just said.
So my main objective is to uplift the people and combine talented people together. And in doing so, it helps one. You can help one another and you can help other folks around to see that if that person can do it and they have been in my same predicament, then I can do it.
Amen. And that's powerful. Someone needs to know that because I believe there's a lot of maybe someone listening. They may not be in the United States because this is a worldwide medicine platform, and they may have had a desire or dream to be in gospel stage plays or in gospel movies that would give God glory, honor, and praise. And by you sharing this on tonight with your question, that may inspire them to move forward and do what God has called them to do in that field. So my next question to you is, your movie is titled I Made It. This is coming to be a reboot of your movie titled I Made It, which I can verify as a witness that I have seen this movie, and it is an awesome movie. I Made It. How did this movie come to be?
Well, it came to be about 12 years ago. A young lady, and she was like, "Deacon, I just don't look like what I've been through." She told me her story and asked me, I asked her, could I turn it into a play? And she said, yes. So we did it for a play for 10 plus years. And then I turned it into a movie. But when I turned it into when it was still a play, it was called I've Been Through Too Much Already. Then when I turned it into a movie, I changed the name to I Made It because she made it out of all the trials and tribulations that she's been through.
Wow. And that's what I picked up on after I viewed the movie, the premiere, myself, along with my younger sister and her husband, my brother-in-law. You had a packed house for the movie premiere. So I see that you're getting ready to have a reboot for this movie titled I Made It, but we will discuss that later at the end of my discussion with you. But my next question to you is, what awareness do you hope your audience will learn from this movie?
I want them to learn to pay close attention to the signs of abuse, both physical and verbal. Because a lot of times people ignore the signs, but the signs are there if you just pay attention. Spirit of discernment.
Absolutely. That's right. Absolutely. And whether you're in the body of Christ, whether you're a saved believer or not, or if you're not in the body of Christ, if you are unsaved and have not confessed Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that applies to all people, men, women, boys, and girls. You need to pay attention to the signs of abuse because it comes in many different forms. And the trick of the enemy is to keep you blinded so that you won't even recognize that you're being abused. So that's why we are so grateful for God using you to bring these type of movies and stage plays out that people can become aware of how the different types of abuse can come about. My next question to you is how, or better yet, are you hoping this movie will spark conversations in the days or weeks following its viewing?
Yes, ma'am. I'm hoping that it will allow people to reach out and talk to someone about what they're going through without feeling ashamed of what they went through.
Absolutely. Because a lot of people that have been abused, they feel like nobody else understands, and they don't. They are scared to share their story because they don't think that other people will believe what they have been through. But, yes, it's very important that we share our stories and that we reach out to those that have been abused and that we can lead them first to God, who can help them get through this abuse of relationships or whatever the case may be. And then we can also help them and lead them to the different agencies that would be able to, you know, get them mental help or physical help that they need to get through after they have been abused. So, again, I know that you are in a rehearsal right now, but I want to ask you right now, how can anyone, because you have a reboot coming out, what is the date of the reboot for people that did not get a chance to see this movie? What is the date for the reboot?
The reboot is Friday, May 6th, 8 o'clock. Doors open at 7 at the Senate Theater on Michigan, two blocks west of Livernois.
Could you give that to us one more time? I know that my shows are kept in archive. People can always go back to the website and pull it up again, but could you repeat that one more time?
The reboot is set for May 6th, 2022, at the Center Theater at 8 o'clock. Doors open at 7. It's on Michigan, two blocks west of Livernois.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And also, my final question to you on tonight is, I understand that you have another movie, a new movie that you're getting ready to work on. What is the name of your new movie that you're going to be doing, and when do you hope that it will premiere?
Okay, well, I'm doing a new movie in May called Who the Daddy, and then I'm doing The Devil's Funeral in June and July.
Amen. So you are, like I said, you wear many, many hats. And see, what I like about what you're doing is all your stage plays, your gospel stage plays, and your movies are being a blessing to people. And most of all, God is being glorified through the works of your hands. So your labor is not in vain. So we're going to continue to lift you up in prayer, and all those that are working on your teams and your crew members and all those that are involved in your gospel plays and movies. We got to continue to lift you up in prayer that they will always be on one accord, and that God will always get the glory through whatever he have assigned to your hands to do. You continue to be faithful unto God, and I just want to say to you that the best is yet to come. As long as you stay faithful to God and stay humble, you haven't seen nothing yet. So I want to say thank you, Brother Rob Mitchell III, for taking time out of your busy schedule, because I do know that you are in a rehearsal right now as we speak. So I thank you for taking the time out to share with the worldwide listeners what God is doing in your life and how you are being a blessing to the kingdom of God, and what God is being glorified through your life. So I want to release you now so that you can get back to your rehearsal. Again, I want to thank you for taking time out to be my special guest on tonight.
Great. Thank you for having me. And just want your listeners to know that The Devil's Funeral will premiere November the 5th, 2022 at the Dearborn Performing Arts Theater. So be looking out for us November the 5th, 2022 at the Dearborn Performing Arts, The Devil's Funeral. Thank you for having me.
Amen.
Continue to pray for us.
Will do. Excellent. No problem. Will do. And most likely I will try to have you back on before when your movie, The Devil's Funeral, is about to be released. Hopefully I can have you back on again so we can get the information out to the listeners in the Michigan area so they can obtain tickets to come and see the movies that you are working on now. So if you are in the Michigan area and you want to see this movie titled I Made It, the reboot, you can go back to the website again if you did not write down the information and pull it up and get the information that you need. So that you can definitely go see this movie titled I Made It. I have definitely seen it, and you will be blessed by it. So we thank God for Brother Rob Mitchell and his teams and all those that are working with him, that God is being glorified. So right now, we are getting ready to receive the word of God from the man of God in the person of Overseer Joseph B. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. I'm going to go ahead and open up his line right now, because I know he's standing by and ready to deliver God's word. So So if you are on the line, I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to follow along. Overseer Joseph B. Jackson, I now yield the mic to you.
All right. Thank you. God bless you, everyone. We certainly honor God tonight for the privilege of being with you and having another opportunity to just open up the book to somebody, to be a blessing to somebody, and hopefully that we'll be able to encourage somebody who's going through a little something. This message is something that I cherish because God gave it to me one evening when I was going through something, and I happened to see one of my favorite preachers preaching, Bishop Daniels, one of the general board members of the Church of God in Christ, and he was giving a testimony. And when he gave the testimony, and I'm going to give you the testimony later in the message, but when he gave that testimony, God broke the chain that was holding me back. And I just saw, and the Lord said, I need you to give this out. I need you to get this out to some other people. So, Father, we thank you. We praise and we magnify and we glorify your name. We bless you for your goodness, your mercy, and your kindness, and we thank you. We ask you now, because it's preaching time, that, God, you anoint us that we would go forward in power and in strength. Less of me and more of you right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, let there be no glory for me, but all the glory belongs to you. Glory and honor belongs to you. We're nothing without you. And so, God, we're asking you now to touch us. Forgive us of any transgression, any sin, or whatever. But, God, help us to go forward in strength tonight. Touch the ears of those that are listening. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is about to say. God, let them be hearers of the word and not just doers and doers as well. And we ask you, God, to remember those that are fighting in the Ukraine right now. You have thwarted Putin's efforts to destroy those people. And, God, we say thank you. Remember, you said that, Father, the man that's in charge is a Jewish person. And you said you would bless those that bless them and curse those that curse them. Now, God, stand beside them and stand behind them and help them in the midst of their crisis. We thank you. Somebody's sick in their body tonight, but we need you to touch right now. We need a healing right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody's discouraged tonight, God, but I need you to open up a way for them. I need you to open up a way and show them how they can make it through their storm. Somebody needs to know that God cares tonight. Hey, God, and I'm asking you now in the name of Jesus to do something special for them. Somebody's back is against the wall. Somebody's at a Red Sea. But, God, you know how to deal with that circumstance. You can speak to the waves. You can speak to the circumstance. You can just say, peace, God, and peace will come into the midst. We thank you. We praise and we honor. We glorify and we bless your name. Be with us now. Be with us now. In the name of Jesus, just be with us now. We bless you and we thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' precious name, oh, my God, we pray and we thank you. Amen and amen. We want to certainly honor God for his love and for his mercy. We've just celebrated one of the most fantastic periods in the Christian experience, which was the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to talk about that garden experience that he had before all of that took place. I was thinking about that. I was kind of toying with that tonight, but the Lord said, no, save that for later, and we're going to go to this one. And we're going to go out of the book of 2 Kings, the fourth chapter, and I'm going to read for seven verses. I got to do it because you won't do it. I tell people all the time that you've got to read the word if you're going to work the word. You can't read what you know. My God, you've got to read it, folks. You've got to read it. You've got to take time. Some of y'all put your face in Facebook more than you put your face in his book. And you've got to learn how to read from his book if you want to have the ammunition you need or the fortitude you need to go through and to face the storms and the crises and the tribulations and trials that are going to come against you, and you're going to have them. That's why the Bible said when the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll raise a standard, but the standard is the word. And you've got to deal with your situation. Jesus used the word on the devil when the devil came against him in the wilderness. And you've got to know how to do the same thing. Out of the book of 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, it's called the widow's oil, the widow's oil. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And now his creditor is coming to take my two children as his slaves. How can I help you?" asked Elisha. "Tell me what you have in the house." She answered, "Your servant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." "Go," said Elisha, "borrow jars, even empty ones, from all of your neighbors. Do not gather just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your son, and pour oil into all of these jars, setting the full ones aside." So she left him, and after she had shut the door behind her and her son, they kept bringing jars to her, and she kept pouring. And when all of the jars were full, she said to her sons, "Bring me some more. Bring me another one." But her sons replied, "Mom, there are no more jars." Then the oil stopped flowing. So she went and told the man of God. And he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt. Then you and your son can live on the remainder." The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. And the message tonight is, Lord, do something for me.
Yes.
Lord, do something for me. This is a timely message because we're living in a time when there's a great need throughout this country. God has brought this nation to its knees, and he's made us realize that you're not as great as you think you are. You still need me. Inflation is eating up money. Who ever heard of gas being almost $4 a gallon? I had to chuckle the other day when I went to a gas station and saw the price, and I said, Lord, when my dad was living, he got upset because he had to pay 25 cents a gallon for gas. If he was here today, he would have a fit. I went to the grocery store, and in the grocery store, bacon that used to cost $3 is now $9 a package. Chitlins. Now, you know, we've been eating chitlins for years. Chitlins used to be $9 a bucket, but now they're $20 because other folks have learned that they're good to eat. Prices are just going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, do something. Do something for me. People have lost their jobs. Lord, do something for me. Folks have got issues in their homes with their husbands, their wives, and their children. Lord, do something for me. Do something. I'm sick in my body. Lord, do something for me. I need you to come to my rescue. God, do something for me. Here's a woman who was married to a preacher. And the Bible says that the preacher died, but he left her in poverty. He's a lot like a lot of folk out here now. They ain't got no insurance whatsoever. Can go buy all of these $250 shoes and sneakers, and can buy $500 handbags, but can't go get an insurance policy to bury you when you die. And then you turn around and want somebody to contribute to a GoFundMe project to help bury you. Well, I don't do that. But you should have spent your money on the right thing. here we have a situation where this woman was in a bad strait. And in those days, if you were left in debt, they had the ability to take your children from you. And they had the ability to make slaves of your children. Your children would have been taken to you, from you for 7 years to work off the debt that had been made. There was no bankruptcy back then. They took your children or they threw you in jail. This woman was in a bad state. She was a widow. If you take the children away from her, she has no means of support, and she would be out there all alone by herself. And so she goes to Elisha, the prophet, and she said, I need your help. I need your help. Look who she went to. She went to the man of God. Stop taking preachers for granted because they have the ability to be a blessing to you. The Bible says preachers are angels, whether you know it or not. And the Bible said, be careful how you entertain strangers because sometimes you're entertaining angels unaware. This woman went to her angel, which was Elisha. And she said, Elisha, I got a problem. My husband, the man of God who waited on you, the man of God who did what he could for the people of God, my husband is dead, and he left us in debt. And when I began to look at that, why was he in debt? And Matthew Henry said he might have been one of those prophets, one of those who helped to sustain the 7,000 that Jezebel was trying to kill. There were 7,000 when Elisha said, I'm the only one left. God said, no, sir. Nah, I always will have another remnant. You're not the only person. I've got 7,000 that have not bowed their knee. But God had to use somebody to get some money to feed them. And maybe this man utilized all of his wealth to help his other prophets out, but died before he could pay the bill. And so the creditors knocked on her door and turned around and said, either you have your money or you give up your sons. She went to Elijah and she said to him, I need your help. And Elijah says, one thing that's unique, he says, what do you have in your house? Elijah, I need help. And you're asking me what I got in my house? And she says, I don't have nothing but just a flask with a little bit of oil in it. And Elijah says, I tell you what to do. See, this is why you've got to have a relationship with your pastor, because God will give him the insight that he will give you what you need so that you can make it through your storm.
Yes,
and
Lord.
He turns to him and says, I need you to tell your children to go to throughout the community and ask your neighbors, can you borrow some of their jar? Now, how many of you could have done that? Could you have knocked on the doors of the people in your apartment building? Could you have knocked on the doors of the people in your neighborhood? Do you even know your neighbors? Do you know them? Do they know you to know that if I needed some help, that they would be there to help you in the midst of your crisis? Do you take the time to speak to the people in your community? Do you have a relationship with them? Do they know that you love Jesus?
My Lord.
Do they know? You never know who you may need to call on to help you. You better learn how to speak to people. It doesn't take much to just wave your hand and say hello. It doesn't take much to knock on the door and say, hi, I'm your neighbor. You just moved in. We used to do that. They used to take cakes and pies and other things to a new neighbor's house just to make sure that they knew who was who.
That's right.
This relationship with the people in her community, do you? She sent her son. And when they knocked on the door, somebody might have said, oh, this is Miss James' son, baby. He said, what you need, baby? And she said, Mama needs to borrow some jars. Can you give us some of your jars so we can use them? I don't know when we're going to give them right back, but Mama needs the jar. Oh, sure, take what you need. And the Bible said they were able to take a goodly number of jars, got them to the house. And when they put them in the house, Elisha told her to do something. He said, you know what? Shut the door. Just like Jesus told the folk when he went to Jairus' daughter's house, or Jairus' house, to heal his daughter, when everybody laughed and said that she was dead when he said she was asleep. Jesus put them out. Shut them out of the room. Everybody doesn't belong in your life at certain times in your life. You've got to get rid of naysayers. You've got to get rid of believers, folks that don't believe like you do. You've got to push them aside for a minute because you need to get to God. And you need to get God to do something for you. And so Elisha told us, listen, shut the door. Why are you shutting the door? Because you don't want everybody to know what's happening in the house. You don't want them to know what you got, because what you're about to get is precious right now. And if they know you got what you got, the thief will be around to steal it. Shut the door and shut your mouth and just do what I told you. And the Bible said that woman got her flask and she took it from one jar to the next and filled them to the brim. And when she got finished filling the last jar, she looked at her son and said, go get me another jar. And he turned around and said, Mama, there are no more. We've exhausted our supply. There's no more. And the Bible said the minute he said that, the oil stopped running. Woman looked at Elisha and said, what do we do now? Elisha said, I'm going to tell you what you do. You take this oil and you go and sell it. You're going to become an oil exporter now. You didn't have a job before, but now you got one. The Bible said, power to get wealth. God has given you a means whereby you can make some real money now. Go and sell the oil. Don't say a soul. Don't tell a soul where the oil is coming from. You're going to be like Exxon. You're going to be like Mobil. You're going to be the person out there now that everybody's looking to that needs the oil. Just like they're looking for gas, they're going to be looking for oil. They're coming to you. And they'll pay whatever price you want them to pay. Just don't gouge them, but be right by the people. And God will bless you. And he said, you know what I want you to do? Once you get it, I want you to pay your debt. Don't be stupid and go out here to the casino. Don't be crazy and run out here and start buying different clothes and cars and things of that nature. Don't be stupid. Pay the bills that you made. And then once you pay the bills, you're going to have something left over to sustain you through these hard times. God's going to make a way out of no way. And for y'all today, even though you're going through a rough time, learn to pay your tithe. Learn to give your offerings. I could go off on that. Let me tell you, when you take care of God's business, God will take care of yours.
Yes,
God
sir.
Bless you. I'm almost through. I got this message from Bishop Daniel's testimony, and I'm going to give it to you. He said that he was on his way to preach in another city, and he had to catch a plane. And when he got on the plane, he found that he was sat next to a man who was blind. And in the other, sitting by the other seat was his guide dog. And Bishop Daniel said, I'm afraid of big dogs. It was a German shepherd, and he didn't look all that friendly. The dog looked at me, and I looked at him. He looked at me, and I looked at him. He said, and I got nervous, but I calmed myself down. He said, and while I was sitting next to the man, we struck up a conversation. The man asked me, what did I do? And I told him I was a preacher. And he began to tell me what he did. And then he said, I'm blind, as you can see, but I got my companion with me. I got the German Shepherd with me, and he's everything that I need. He said, really? Oh, he's everything. He protects me. He keeps me. He helps me to go where I've got to go. He makes sure that nobody bothers me. He makes sure that I can cross the street without being hit by a car. He's my special friend. And Bishop looked at him and said, you know what? I've got a friend like that, but he's a little, just a little bit better than what you have. And the man said, really? He said, oh, yes, let me tell you about him. He said, I've got a friend that will stick closer than a brother. I got a friend that will make ways out of no way. I got a friend that can open doors that no man can shut. I got a friend that's a protector. He'll make sure that no harm comes to you, because he's got two twin angels, goodness and mercy, and they follow me everywhere I go. I got bodyguards because of him. He said, when I'm sick, all I got to do is go to my friend and tell my friend that I'm sick in my body and I need him to touch me, and he touches me. When I'm sad and lonely, I can go to my friend and tell him all of my troubles, and some way, somehow, a sweet peace comes over me because I've had a conversation with him. He says, when trouble arises and I don't know how to deal with the circumstance, all I got to do is go to him and tell him about the situation, and he works it out for me. He said, man, I want you to know that one day I was in sin and had no way of getting back to him, and he thought enough to find a way to get back, to make it well between he and myself. He allowed his son to die for me. He allowed his son to pay the penalty that I should have paid for the sins that I committed. He stood there and let his son die in my place. I got a real friend. A friend, and I mean, I can't tell you everything I'd like. He said, the friend isn't here right now, but yet he is here because he's even around us right now listening to the conversation. But the friend assured me, too, that one day soon, he's coming back to take me back to the new home that he has prepared for me. Ha! He said, in that home, in that city that we're going to, there will be no more death. There will be no more tears. There will be no more hardships. He said, there's a mansion over there in that city for me. He said, if I should get sick, he said that there's a tree over there whose leaves are just good for the healing of the nation. He said, I won't have to look for the electric in the city because the light will always shine. He said, I've got somebody who cares for me. And he said he looked at the man, and the man got quiet. And he said, preacher, would you do me a favor? And Bishop Daniel said, what do you want? He said, can you take me to the men's room? And Bishop Daniel took him by the hand and led him to the men's room, and the dog followed him. The man went into the laboratory and closed the door. Bishop and the dog were standing outside of the laboratory waiting for him to come out so they could take him to his seat. But the man stayed in there for an unusually long period of time, and Bishop said, I looked at the dog, and the dog looked at me. And I looked back at the dog, and the dog looked up at me as if to say, I think you better knock on that door to find out where he is. Bishop said, I knocked to see if he was all right, and he didn't respond. He said, I knocked again, and he still didn't respond. He said, but after about another 10 minutes, the door opened, and the man came out. And he turned toward Bishop, and tears were streaming down his face. And he took some of the toilet tissue and wiped away the tears. And Bishop said, "What's wrong, sir?" He said, "You know, Bishop, you talked about this man Jesus so much until I felt that I had to get away by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got in that room, all I could do was holler out to him, 'Lord, do something for me. Hallelujah! God, do something for me. If you did it for blind Bartimaeus, God, do something for me. If you did it for Jairus' daughter, Lord, do something for me. If you did it for Lazarus and you raised him from the dead, Lord, do something for me. If you did it for one of the 10 lepers and they came back and told you, thank you for what you did, Lord, do something for me.' I heard the bishop said that when the Israelis got to the Red Sea, you opened up the sea and let them go through. Lord, do something for me." When I heard that story, I got happy. You hear what I'm saying? I got to hold myself together now. I'm getting happy on the inside because that man said, "You talked about Jesus so much until I want what you got." And
yes,
my question,
Lord,
is, how many of you have taken the time to tell folk about the goodness of the God you serve? How many of one of your children and your grandchildren and in front of your neighbors and your co-workers in such a way that somebody wants to cry out, "Lord, do something for me. Lord, do something for me." We've got a job to do, folks. Jesus is on his way back.
Lord, yes.
If you don't know it, you better read Matthew 24. It told you, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the Son of Man comes back. It's we're in that time. He said there would be wars and rumors of wars. What do you think is going on now? He said there would be earthquakes in many places. He said the weather, you wouldn't even know the seasons, because everything would be out of whack. What do you think you're living in now?
Yeah, Lord.
Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When the trump of God sounds, Jesus is coming back to snatch away the church."
Mm-hmm.
Who have you told about the love of God to make somebody say, "Lord, do something for me"? Some of y'all need him to do something for you. You need to get to a quiet place right now and cry out to him, "God, help me in this hour of my turmoil. I'm on life's sea, and it's tossing me to and fro. I'm in a bad situation. I can't pay my bills. I'm sick in my body. Trouble in my home. My marriage is falling apart. My children are strung up on drugs. My daughter just told me that she's pregnant, and she's only 14 years old. God, what am I going to do? Help me. I need you to do something for me. Lord, help me now." The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open up the door and let me in. I'll do for you what needs to be done if you give me the opportunity. I'll be to you what you need me to be. I'll be your burden bearer. I'll be your way. I'll bring you out of the storm. But most of all, I'll save you from a burning hell. Lord, do something for me." Father, I thank you. Oh, Jesus, folks are playing church, God. They're playing church. They're in the church, but they're playing church. And it's no time to play now, God. It's serious time now. No time to play games. God, help the folk to get their act together Help them to realize what time it is. Help them to wake up. The night is far spent. You're on your way back. It's 11:59, almost midnight. Cry was made. God help us. Help us to stop playing games and to be real. We need your help. Help us, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm finished, Pastor. God, glory.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a word on tonight. What a word, what a word, what a word on tonight. Oh, thank God for the word. Well, listen, I am opening up the phone lines right now as we speak. So if you have any questions for Overseer Jackson pertaining to tonight's message, this is your opportunity to do so. Or if you want to give them words of encouragement, because as I always said, we need to always encourage one another in God's word. Not with our feelings or opinions. We need to encourage one another in God's word. So the phone lines are open right now as we speak. So is there anyone that would have a question for Overseer Jackson pertaining to tonight's message, or if you want to give him words of encouragement, you can do so now. Praise the Lord. Anyone?
Yes. All honors.
Yes, ma'am. Hello?
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We sure can. Yes, we can.
I just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you for allowing God to use you. I actually, my son texted me to tell me that my pop was on the radio, Brother Robert Mitchell III. And so I tuned in, and I was just, I don't know, it was like God was tugging on me to tell me, all right, listen to the message. And as soon as I started to drift off into doing something different, because I put the phone on speaker, but I started looking at my messages on Facebook, I kid you not, he said, some of us need to go to the Word, which is the real book, instead of Facebook. Okay, that was just something I thought I'd humor you all with so we could get a chuckle in, but I just wanted to say that everything was on point. I'm going to continue to get my jar and keep the oil flowing and do what it is that God has me to do. And one of those things is ministry and bringing people to Christ. And I just wanted to say thank you for the message. It was relayed in such a wonderful way, and I was blessed by it.
God bless you, sweetheart. I'm happy for you. Yes, the Lord dealt with me about that one time, because I was in on Facebook for a long period of time. He said, you know, if you spent more time with me, you'd be more dynamic in ministry. And he told me, get your face out of Facebook and put your face in the book. And so that's what I'm telling people. If you really want to grow in him, put your face, because a lot of the stuff that you see on Facebook is junk. You hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I know that somebody else wants to talk. I just wanted to ask if you all could keep my family, the Davis family, in prayer. I would really appreciate it.
Amen.
All right,
do.
Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus, this lady asks that her family be bathed in prayer. We ask you to do for each and every member of that family what needs to be done. I don't know what needs to be done. You do. Do what has to be done, Father. But whatever you do, bring them to the knowledge of who Jesus is. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sister, did you say you was Brother Rob Mitchell's daughter?
Yes, I am. I am also a part of the cast in the movie I Made It. Only an extra in the movie. But I thank God for even the little part, you know, that I played a part in. It was a wonderful cast. And the first premiere on April 8th was totally blessed by God. It was an awesome experience. Everyone was happy. It was very professionally done. And to God be the glory for all the things that Rod Mitchell III is doing at this time.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for those words of encouragement. And so also right now the phone lines are still open. Anyone else have any questions for Overseer Jackson pertaining to the night's message, or do you want to give him words of encouragement? Anyone else?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Yeah. I tell you what, I was very inspired, encouraged by the message. You remind me of a preacher friend of mine. When he started off a little slow, laying down the foundation.
Look out now.
But the more, I'm telling you, you allow the Spirit of God to shift them gears, and you went away from hell. You hear me?
Amen.
You spoke some things that need to be spoken. There's a lot of folks
Amen.
Need to hear what you spoke about tonight. I'm going to tell you right now.
Amen.
I thank God for you. Just give words of encouragement to continue on, and I thank God for you. Amen.
Thank you so much. I'm old school. That's where they told us to do: lay the foundation and then roll.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Overseer Jackson, that was my first cousin, Pastor Norman King from Greensboro, North Carolina, that you just spoke with.
All right.
Anyone else have any words for encouragement for Overseer Jackson, or do you have a question for him on tonight? Anyone else? The lines are still open. I just want to say, Overseer Jackson, I agree with my cousin, Pastor Norman King. You continue to stay on the wall because the world needs more pastors, need more preachers like you who are not afraid to stand up on and declare and break down the word of God where we can all get understanding. The word of God said, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. And we don't always understand what the preachers are saying, because they are sometimes using words that are over our heads that we don't understand. Half the time, they don't understand either. But we thank God for you for seeing the picture. You were like how Jesus always used the parables, like a parable, when Jesus always talked to people in a parable, like you're telling a story. But people can see the story, but they can get the clarity of the story, and that way they can get full understanding of it. So that's what you have done again on tonight. So don't think your job work is in vain. What you're doing for the Lord is not. You are truly a vessel being used by God. So I thank God for those that have given you words of encouragement on tonight, for those that have tuned in, dialed in by phone, or listening in by way of social media, because even over in Russia, where they are fighting this unprovoked war, some of the people in Russia are picking up this worldwide ministry and platform, and it's also being heard in prisons all over the United States. So we give God the glory for this worldwide platform and ministry. So, Overseer Jackson, you continue to be the man that God has called for you to be, because your labor is not in vain. We're going to close off for tonight. As I always tell the listeners, and I always say, please continue to encourage one another in God's word, not with your opinions, not with your feelings, but with God's word. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth, and that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. So we thank you for your word, Heavenly Father, that has gone forth on tonight through your man of God, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson. Continue to bless him. Continue to touch and strengthen his body. Continue to give him the desires of his heart, Heavenly Father, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this worldwide ministry and platform. Everyone that tunes into it, continue to bless them, that give them the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We love you. We thank you for loving us first. And we thank you for our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, your Son, Jesus the Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So on tonight, again, know that I love you, but guess what? Know that God loves you even more. So on this coming Saturday night, Pastor Norman King, my first cousin from Greensboro, North Carolina, will be delivering God's word. You want to tune in on this coming Saturday night and be blessed by another word from the Lord from Pastor Norman King from Greensboro, North Carolina, the pastor of the Victor's Outreach Ministries, which is located in Greensboro, North Carolina. He will be delivering God's word on this coming Saturday night. So tune in and be blessed by God's word. Until then, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
So much I owe.